sorry, folks.
Even though...
Yes, now we are...
We are discussing.
Okay. The meeting will come to order.
Who's the boss?
Cachet. Present are...
Richard.
Mira.
Mary.
Steve.
George.
Jane.
Sandy.
Rolf.
Ellen.
Mark.
Who's the boss?
By the cookies.
Oh, you mean the microphone box?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cachet.
Richard wants to have the first word. He has the first word on
here. No, you're welcome. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hmm.
Sure.
So, I don't know what to say. I just grabbed it.
I like Richard leading us off here.
Why not? Yes, indeed, I did feel that it was better than Match Point, but it wasn't as good of a movie as I had expected it to be. I had thought it'd be really fabulous. I won't say any more. I'll let some other people comment, and then
I'm really intrigued by movies in which you're looking through the eye of a video, in a video, because I think that we all... I mean, it's that whole voyeuristic thing, and it's the awareness... the levels of voyeurism that you get into. So the very... once the static camera was explained by it being this voyeuristic eye, it became, rather than static, filled with tension, drama, suspense. It was fascinating to watch that. And I found myself really intrigued by that act. However, I felt, and I know we're going to get into all of this in a lot of different ways, I was puzzled by an act that a child does at age six being like a metaphor for the entire French behavior towards Algerians. I had trouble with that, and even though this is a case where if it were purely on a personal level, I would have accepted it more. But since it really did seem to be weighted with that, age six, it didn't seem to be enough consciousness for me to carry that weight. And quite frankly, at the end, I didn't know what the hell happened. Was that guy his swimming teacher? That I kept
what
trying
guy?
To
teacher?
What guy?
The son?
I kept trying to figure out what happened at the end. He was talking with their little boy, and then
who's
I thought
the
two.
Please be explicit.
The couple's
who's
little
talking.
Okay.
Piero.
Okay.
The
Piero.
Son of
let me be more specific. I'm not
son.
Being articulate.
The Algerian son.
The Algerian who killed himself. His son, to me, had to have been the one with the camera in there. And the way, the way that this is what I thought, and I could be completely wrong, but the way that the materials so easily got to the couple, to me, I thought it was through their son. And at the end, very end of the movie, you see the two sons, the next generation, talking to each other. And quite frankly, I don't really know what happened. I'm not really sure what, you know. And so that was my take, that I felt that the old Majid couldn't have done, his reactions were so genuine that I don't think that he knew that the camera was there. I thought his vulnerability, and seemed to be the only one that could have done it was the son, but I don't really... No, and I just don't know. So
I think it was. It took me a while to think this, but I think the son was in on it. Because
which son?
The son of the French boy.
Okay.
The French boy.
I don't remember his
the 12-year-old, the swimmer,
the
bad-humored boy who was always sleeping out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Piero, yeah. But did you think it was with the Algerian?
I'm not there.
Okay.
Well, what was I?
You thought that Piero...
Oh, because the French character, main character, the father of that boy, says to his wife, just before the last couple of scenes, calls her on the phone and says, I'm just taking two pills, I'm going to go to bed, don't bother me, and tell Piero to be easy on his father, please.
Mm-hmm. Who called?
The father.
The father, yeah. Called his wife and told her not to bother him. He was going to
go. Oh, right,
so
yes.
It was early, still daytime, yes. Or light.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he says, and tell Pedro to be easy. Take it easy on his father. Why would he say that?
He's the father. Right.
That's right. On him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
But I just thought it was because the son was revolting.
The boy wasn't noisy. If anything, he was quiet.
He was a mouse. Yeah.
He was a mouse.
Mm-hmm. He was.
So I think he was referring to a different thing.
Really?
Yes. Very, very, very much.
Okay. I thought that it was impossible. That I didn't think that there was any conclusion about who was doing the taping, and that I was very irritated by that. But I think that there's a lot about the film, and both political and psychological that I like, and the whole idea that George, I did things at six and younger that I still think about and feel bad about. I don't think that six is too young an age to be held responsible.
Are you finished?
No.
Well, go ahead and finish.
Next.
I love the political analogy, allegory.
You thought it worked?
I did think it worked. Especially since George was someone who was totally in denial. And the cry of Haneke is for, or not a cry, I mean, it's just a description of the French not taking any responsibility for anything that they did to the Algerians and just, you know, pulling covers, taking two pills and going to sleep and pulling the covers over their eyes. I mean, when he did that, he had just come from witnessing the Algerian men.
That wasn't then, it was after. That was later. It wasn't just then. Because that's the last scene.
Sure, no.
But that's the last scene.
No, it isn't.
It's the next to last scene, then the boy appears and that's the end. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I agree with Sandy that, you know, there are things that I think of in my childhood that I did that I feel sorry about. But on the other hand, I'm smart enough and adult enough to know that I was a child then and was doing childish things and had a childish mind, and I forgive myself. And I can't see somebody else carrying a judge or a grudge about something that a six-year-old did to this other six-year-old. I mean, if you're an adult, you understand that children behave in a certain way. And
go after the old lady.
His parents had some sort of involvement in it too.
No, it's more the parents. That's what I mean. Why pick on the six-year-old?
No, but his parents were going to adopt the Algerian until
he told many lies.
Yeah, many lies.
Right, but the parents then had some kind of responsibility because they could have.
No,
they could have said to the six-year-old,
"They
have a responsibility to this kid. Get over it. He's your brother now. You know, or maybe you know you like to think you might have done that. Maybe
but the final lie that he told was that the kid was sick and that he had some kind of disease.
Tuberculosis. I thought that they sent him away because they believed that and they thought their own family was in danger.
It's logical that they would behave that way. It's also logical that he would behave that way. He's the only child. This child's coming into a family to take his position. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sibling rival. Even when you have a baby brother being born,
right,
there's that whole resentment of having this other person take this attention away from you.
It's still analogous to the Algerian situation. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe what it is in terms of the political thing that maybe what he's saying, it doesn't matter how young you are. I mean, that's the only, because to me, I kept, I felt that if he were like 13, like his son, like Piero was 13, that you have moral, like of a moral consciousness of what you're doing. But at 6, you're kind of innocent, even in your cruelty. And that the implications maybe are that even in your innocence, you're not guilt-free, that when you do these kinds of things. I mean, it just didn't... I just have trouble with that.
But also
into that.
But the it's completely shaped who he was as a character, George, because
that's
he continued that denial into his marriage, and he didn't take any responsibility for all the things that his wife was
doing.
As a character, I could accept it, but in terms of the political metaphor, I had trouble with that. In terms of who he was as a person, it was consistent, but in terms of the political metaphor, it didn't have the enough of an impact for me.
Well,
anyway,
one scene I don't understand is when when the mother confronted the little boy and he was so sullen and he was accusing her of having an affair. And so, do you think this just came from him, or did somebody corrupt his mind with this? So where did this come from?
I think she was having an affair with him.
Was she having an affair?
When they went out to lunch and kissed her hand, and
I thought they were just being.
She wasn't a loveless marriage.
Yeah.
So
I thought. Yeah.
I mean, whether she had an affair or not, there was certainly some.
He was in a good marriage, and
he seemed to be in a better marriage.
But they were friends. Her friend, whatever his name is,
her boss,
her best friend.
Confidant.
You forgot.
I forgot so much of
the blonde woman and the
blonde. Yeah, it's a little. I found it really, fascinating, riveting, like you said.
You recommended it.
But I forgot a lot of it. One thing, but I was thinking about other things that I wondered what other people thought. One thing was the set design. I thought it was those books in that apartment, and I don't know if any of you have seen our downstairs. You've seen downstairs, we have, where Paul hides when we have the meetings at my house. It's like I've seen thousands of books, and wasn't there something similar about his office?
Yeah, but they were
fake books.
They were empty and shut.
It was like a fake book, lit with light coming.
That's right, because he was, after all, a television journalist. Yeah. Right,
but it was
right.
It was also like the video versus the real.
Yeah. That was one thing. And the other thing was, like, I love the way it started, and you could hear this most beautiful actress in the world. You see her from behind. So like the first two scenes, you don't see, and it's practically frumping. You don't see the first two scenes, you don't even see her face. I thought that was so funny.
I thought they deliberately made her frumpy. Mm-hmm. The clothes were so unflattering.
Not
painted at a terrible length, and she had brown eye makeup around her eyes to make her look less attractive. I thought it was like.
Still couldn't do it though. She's still gorgeous.
it's true. But I thought they were deliberately. It was part of the whole arrogance of what their lives were.
Very arrogant.
They're truly one of the most beautiful actresses in the universe.
Who?
They tried to make
I think she actually, her performance was the best in the film. Perhaps. I thought she was just incredible.
Mm. She was incredible.
Yeah. Question, do you think she was having an affair?
I don't think she was.
You don't think so?
No. Personally, I don't think she was.
But I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
she had more intimacy with him than she did with her own husband.
It seemed to me that even because at the end, when you see the two boys having a conversation, you almost think that the Algerian boy, was almost influencing him and corrupting him in ways by having conversations with him. Because obviously I don't think that was the first conversation he had with him.
Yeah.
I think they had a relationship with him, and he was hiding this from his parents that he was having a relationship with this guy.
I think
George.
just because George doesn't
see. I think so much of this movie is ambiguous mm-hmm. that maybe we are not supposed to know or going to know one way or the other right. which way these things are going.
Yeah.
My experience with this film was bad from the start. First of all, I had this lady behind me doing
and then the first shot lasts 5 minutes.
Right. Well, then I got bit by a mosquito
in
the theater. And then, like just saying, the style of the film put me off so much it ruined the rest of it. I almost walked out in 15 minutes.
You're
and
not
my friend only. Made the mistake of telling me that it was a slow film, so I was antsy from the start.
Yeah.
The credits annoyed me. The scenes of the beginning of the house where it just went on and on and on, I thought were absolutely pointless. Why do you have to dwell on something that long? When he went to bed, and he laid there, and the first thing I thought of was Andy Warhol's film. Where
I was thinking that too. That's what I said.
Yeah, 8 hours of watching
when I
somebody
thought,
sleep.
Yeah, I said,
have you seen it? The hell out of it.
Have you seen Sleep?
No, I've seen this of it. Yeah.
I agree. No.
But you've seen other Andy Warhol. Have you seen Blowjob?
That's the whole long is that movie.
Yeah,
how long is that movie?
About 10 or 20 minutes. 20 at least. And it's just the person's face. It's
doing a blowjob or
no,
getting a blowjob?
You get it. Yeah. Well, it's all off screen. So it's very fascinating.
I might have enjoyed that more than this.
What's interesting is when the audience gets really uneasy and he has a point in making these movies.
Well,
what I'm saying,
really,
Warhol definitely has a point.
This was really frustrating because there was a conversation between the Algerian son and George in the bathroom. And George is asking me these questions. The guy's not telling him anything. He's not answering. He's asking that.
He wasn't lying.
No, I didn't
say
that he was lying, but I'm just saying that it was frustrating because he was asking questions. George was asking questions, and the Algerian wasn't giving him any answers. And it just went on and on. And my friend kind of liked the film up to a point, and then he just got frustrated because it just... He just lost it,
But I don't know why I liked it, but I would have watched it without any politics. I still would have watched it.
It was great.
I don't even think the political analogy is all that clear or convincing. There was something about it that was absolutely fascinating, and I love the long take. I mean, I love it in Jarmusch Jim Jarmusch, and they just stay on one because it just changes. It doesn't stay the same.
Right.
It changes, the audience reaction to it changes. It's just a fascinating thing with wonderful actors.
It makes you think of different things.
And it's French, and I don't care that I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what the last scene was about or anything. I still loved it. It just felt like an enjoyable film.
Mark, this is an example of the film we were talking about earlier where you're in maybe Paris, and it's definitely not featuring the city of Paris, except for maybe the street signs on the corner of the building.
Yeah, street signs are the main thing.
That's the only flavor you got of being in a French city. But the thing that I thought was fascinating was how it was slowly revealed what this guy's transgression was.
Yeah.
And through those flashbacks of that boy with blood on his face and the chicken and it seemed like it must have been such a terrible thing that he did, but in the end it wasn't that terrible, and it was definitely forgivable given that he was 6 years old, and yet it caused all this turmoil in this life, and so and he was so ashamed of it too later on, so it was just interesting that it was just, this what I think is a minimal thing.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you guys are all using the word fascinating. I was not.
I understand that, but
I agree with Mike
Miklasel.
Miklasel's review.
I thought it was visual. You won't like this comment. I found it visually stunning. I found There were all of these shots through like windows, doorways, narrow perspective opening up, filled to me with mystery. In particular,
within the house,
everywhere. I love the scene where the Algerian son confronts him, and they're standing in the elevator. Mm-hmm. And he's you see him face on and from the back, and you see his face, and you're not sure which is a reflection and which isn't. I was just fascinated. It like created this of course it was very dark, this claustrophobic narrow vision thing defined, I felt, by the eye of the video camera to create this kind of an atmosphere.
Nobody's mentioned that one scene that was about the most shocking scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the only one that was so caught by surprise. I mean, very purposeful. I usually watch a movie and I have reactions, but this time I actually screamed, or not screamed.
Which one?
Where the guy goes, I wanted you to be a witness, I was totally unprepared.
Well, that's very purposely. I know.
I'm just saying that's a very, I think that's quite an achievement. Right there to have pulled that off,
Especially when you're sweeping through the restaurant.
Wake up here or something happened. And then about, you say it's such a forgivable thing, but didn't, that was the guy, wasn't it? He was,
the little boy.
The little boy who
destroyed his life.
And it destroyed his life, is what I got out of it. I mean, I couldn't tell you every reason why it destroyed his life, because it's been a month since I saw the movie, but I mean, it must have been a pretty significant thing for him to have done.
But he had his blame 6-year-old.
Yeah, well, apparently, whatever he did, it changed this other fellow's life radically, and he knew it. Even though he was finding it out during the movie, maybe he also suspected all along that it may have had a really negative impact on the other guy.
Well, because like Sandy said, it became a pattern in his life. It wasn't the only time that it became his M.O. to be evil, to avoid things, to not be real.
Mm. You were talking about how you appreciated the visual aspect of the film. The still shots reminded me of shots in The Passenger.
Yes.
We have a framed image, and life going on in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a whole lot of, especially the last shot of The Passenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's enough.
Hand in the cookie jar.
There was another scene, as you're trying to remember, maybe something, where they're arguing over the kid having disappeared, and they think he's disappeared, and there's the television is on. And I think you'd expect then the focus to go on to the couple arguing, but no, the television remains as prominent. In the scene, as the couple arguing, and I really like that. But there was something else I remember about it. I mean, that I thought at the time, which I can't remember, about that scene. Because what was on television? What was the news?
It was the Middle East,
like Iraq. But in that kind of scene in American movies, you see in the background. The picture of the Devil's Tower, something that has
something
to do with
obvious.
Something that has to do with the current film, and that wasn't the case.
Yes.
It was just the background,
There was a scene from Algeria.
Was there?
Yeah. Definitely.
And I missed it.
And not only that, but there's the history of the French New Wave directors. Mm-hmm. In the early 60s, all of their films had the Algerian War in the background. Even Cleo from 5-7 was all the backstory of the film, and Godard's many films. I've, in the conversation in Marin today, when somebody said that the kid's name was Pierrot Le Fou. And there, maybe all of the names are references to the earlier French films, but I think that this film is really about The next generation of Algerians and French, and taking responsibility and taking a look at what happened. No matter how innocent or young the French people were, or unaware of what they were doing, or in denial about what they were doing, that it definitely had an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that scene where the son of the Algerian guy, I mean, the fact is that the Algerian guy, you know, sort of pulled himself up by his bootstraps and became a taxi driver or whatever he was, and raised a son who had a chance at education and was calm and not angry, and that confrontation scene after his father killed himself, and he comes to talk to Georges at the television station. And I my sympathy was with the kid.
Yes,
because he was, I mean, George was totally upset and threatened.
Yeah,
and he just kept saying, "Why are you afraid of me? What have I done to you?" You know, and that's a kind of like that racism of, and the frenzy that happens as a result of feeling threatened by an underclass who are being abused by the ones in power.
But he also thought that he was the one responsible for those tapes.
That's what he thought, right. But it wasn't necessarily true.
I know, it wasn't at that point. He wasn't sympathetic.
I didn't think there was any evidence whatsoever that just because the Algerian kid and the French kid were talking on the step, that they were the ones who were doing the videotape. I didn't think that was. I don't think that there's any evidence, any fundamental, for sure evidence that of
who the camera did.
The camera was in their house.
How was the camera in their house?
I don't know how, but I think that he's.
But I think there aren't as many choices as to how that camera got there. Unless it's an absolute mystery, then it doesn't make sense. But the camera was inside the house.
Unless there's,
but the only logical explanation would be.
But it's not. You're not supposed to necessarily. Look, I mean, it is locked up in the air.
But what logical conclusion can you?
The movie to me is beyond logic.
Well, yeah. And how did if the kids did it, then how could they predict the slitting of the throat with the pictures that were on the videotape of the chicken
and the boy.
Yeah.
It was out of the mouth and out of the neck.
Yeah. Right. So it was the chicken. And then he was referencing the chicken also when he killed himself.
The thing about the camera being in the house, and I had this dilemma too when I was working in a computer lab and trying to catch a kid who was stealing money out of the printer fund, was how to turn it on when the action is happening. You know, so I either have to put it on low res 6-hour tape mode or high res.
The surveillance cameras have 24-hour.
Yes. So it's you know, that's a little bit out of the, you know, I don't know how that ever happened, that even if it was the son, that he turned it on when the guy was going to come to his father's apartment. How did he do that unless he was in the other room and turned on the camera?
Sure.
I don't think it really matters to the story. I mean, it's okay if it's not that believable. What was I going to say? Something else.
No,
didn't you think it was bizarre their unwillingness to go to the police about anything?
Whose unwillingness?
Anybody.
They were.
The French.
Well, eventually, but they were just resistant. Even after the suicide,
they went
pretty
soon.
He didn't go to the police or anything. He went home.
Well, no, that was weird. And that definitely made you feel like there was something more to it than.
Well, imagine you being there in front of somebody who slits his throat.
I would pick up the phone immediately.
I would call somebody and say something.
Just to prove that it wasn't.
I would try to stop the bleeding.
Yeah. Well, I think it was. No, but that's another reason to call 911.
Yeah, right.
You just think the guy's not dead.
Yeah, exactly. I would call 911. one instantaneously.
Where he
but
was,
because he felt some...
He was more worried about his feelings and everything of how...
Yeah.
As opposed to this man who could have just killed himself.
Yeah. And he went home and took sleeping pills. And did anybody think when he did that maybe he took more than two?
No. At first I thought...
Maybe it's just like a suicide thing. But then you thought, no. Yeah.
He's too self-centered to kill himself.
He was self-centered, And don't forget the media, the whole thing. I mean, he didn't just do anything for a living. He was on TV. You know, although his show was failing. There was that scene with his producer where they were going to bump him somewhere else or change something.
No, because it was not only, it was TV, it was also video. He was,
He was in the world of video and books. So she was in the world of publishing, and I don't know what this all means, but I found it all very interesting. And I just, again, I liked the time that I was watching the movie. Both these movies that we chose this month, I felt that the 2 hours or whatever that I was in the movie theater were, it just felt really special.
Did anyone catch the fact that the story being told at the dinner table?
That was interesting.
There was a date, the 17th of June, and then later there's the 17th of June.
That all ties in, you're right.
When?
No, go ahead.
What's the story of the
story of being a dog.
About what?
About looking like a dog. Reincarnated as a dog.
Oh, that was an amazing story.
And something, what was the story that he was...
Remember the old woman said you remind me of someone.
Oh, thanks.
And it ends up it was her dog, and it ends up the dog died the same day he was born. And then that date died again later.
Yes. When, I think when the bad thing happens to the Algerian boy, when he's taken away, or some incident with the Algerian
boy. Somehow, you're right, that date does come up again.
Yes.
June 17th.
Oh, it means something.
It probably is a big political date in French history.
Could be the Bastille Day.
July 14th. The one scene that I had was a little bit curious was when the Algerian son confronted him at the office after Majid committed suicide. It seemed to me that the Algerian son wanted something from the other guy.
What did he want?
He didn't get it.
Well, remember he said, I wanted to see what it feels like for you. Mm-hmm. And he got that.
He saw him in very bad shape.
Yes, he wanted him to suffer, and he was seeing him suffer.
Yeah. I didn't know that. He didn't look like he was suffering.
He was angry.
Yeah, he was just
angry. He was a mess. He was a mess in the elevator. He was a mess in the office. He knew he could get this guy out of there when he wanted to.
But he didn't.
But yeah, that was real clear that he had it was a world where that kid didn't belong and they could just push him out the door. But
was this
I thought he wanted something more too, though. It felt like he wanted,
I felt like that scene, something's going to be resolved in that scene. I'm going to see this person's motives, I'm going to see this, and nothing was resolved.
Well, it's resolved in the movie.
Especially since he was very plausible when he denied that he had anything to do with the video. Because he was very dignified and he denied it.
Yes, he was.
And
very
he sounded
believable.
Very believable.
Well, maybe the father or the son?
Well, the father, I didn't believe that the father did it after he broke down. After the first time that the guy came to his house, and then you see the father sitting there and he puts his head on the table.
I thought
he wouldn't have done that if he had known that there was a camera there. But after I learned it was the son, I thought it had to have been the son getting, being in the house. But the son did sound really plausible when confronted, and then he said that he didn't do it, and he was very...
What have I done to you?
Yeah, he's very dignified. He didn't sound like he was lying. So I don't know.
I think there's another character that we never meet back there somewhere.
Hidden in that house?
Yeah.
I think that, well, Mark Phillips brought this up. They, because Mark and Roberta saw the film when they were in New Zealand, and so they saw it early, and then a couple of weeks after they saw it, then the riots started happening.
Right.
That was my question.
And so this is, I mean, it's kind of like, the film is predicting.
It's true. It's
Because that is what is so powerful about the politics of the film is that you just cannot ignore this.
Yeah. But people try. And the French suffer up until these riots had done pretty well at convincing us that they had.
But it's not. I don't think that it's just about France. I mean,
France.
I mean, we are the same way, and so is Japan about the Nanking Massacre.
Right.
And so is every.
I know, and it's such a because I have a friend who's Chinese, and she's like considerably younger than me, and she's still pissed off about the fact that the Japanese have never apologized.
I have students of 15 years of age who are pissed off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's their parents are pissed
off. Really, you know, it's like you don't forget these. History remains embedded through consciousness,
through generations.
And that's what I was thinking about that scene at Judge Day's.
No, there's...
Right, in that case.
I showed a Kurosawa film that is... the premise is about the Nanking Massacre, and so I did a bunch of research
on...
Which
one is that?
Forgetting the name of it. But, so I did some research online, and there are conferences. There was a conference in like 2002 about the Nanking Massacre. Who's responsible? And I read the atrocities that were done. You know, Japanese soldiers killing a pregnant woman and taking the baby out and slicing it. You know, like
was the conference in Japan?
San Francisco.
Oh. Okay.
But what are you, what's the point for you?
But there are conferences regularly in different cities.
But I'm asking, is it, you know, in Japan? Asking these questions in Japan?
No.
That's what I was asking. Yeah.
No, it's interesting because this writer Murakami, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He wrote this novel, The Wanderbird Chronicles.
I read that.
And he talked. It's like he reminds me of Günter Grass. Writing about German consciousness after World War II, and he's like the only writer that I know of. I don't know if there's as many Japanese writers. Let me reword that. Murakami is the only instance that I came across where, in a fictionalized way, he wrote about Japan and just Japan's invasion of China during that time, and in a twisted way, the way Günter Grass wrote about, you know, the guy that did the Tin Drum, wrote about how the Germans kind of like in this kind of, Murakami's not a grotesque writer, but he's sort of a surreal writer in a way, and he dealt with that, and I was kind of stunned by it because I never encountered it before. That consciousness. So.
What was the name of the book?
The Wanderbird Chronicle.
I think I read another book by him of similar theme.
He's published a lot of stories in the New Yorker. He's an amazing writer.
I like it.
Yeah.
It was 1930.
I've read a lot of his short stories, but I haven't read any other novels.
And again, the conference was in San Francisco.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What I see happening here is that it seems like the generation of today is being blamed for what happened in the past. Like this young person that you're saying is really pissed off. But the Japanese who probably were all involved in that are all gone, so why are they blaming the Japanese now?
I didn't see Memoirs of a Geisha, because Japanese actresses playing Chinese.
Right.
Yeah, the one in Chinese.
The Chinese
actresses playing Japanese.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. And
But the thing is, there's still in the news, there's continuously stuff about, you know, Switzerland paying back families of Jews, and I mean, it's very current in Europe to be dealing with that, but it doesn't come up in terms of Japan. I think it came up once in terms of Japan.
But in terms of cachet, I thought that what was so interesting was that the next generation is going on, but isn't. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. That the French kid and the Algerian kid are talking to each other. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. but they're connecting in some way. And moving on from that, and yet the scars are there.
There was even the confrontation with the bicyclists, which was kind of very over dramatized, mm-hmm. and yeah.
But that said a lot about him.
Yeah.
His hair trigger response to that.
What was that?
He was already stressed. Him and his wife walk out from between cars, and an African guy on a bike comes by, and they have this whole.
Almost hits them.
The thing about that is that it could have been anybody of any color, and I feel he would have reacted that way, and the other person would react the way.
Yeah, but the director chose it to be that guy.
I know.
Yeah. No, he was on edge. He was on edge.
Right.
The director made it that. It's very loaded, the fact that he is a person of color. Definitely.
There's this other thing, though, that within the context of the movie, we look for resolution, and I don't know if it's always necessary for there to be a tight resolution in a movie or a piece of literature or something. Sometimes it's good to have questions.
Definitely.
And but my question to everybody here is that in terms of this movie, where there really is no resolution that's clear, I mean, do you feel satisfied with that? I personally I didn't want some tight, everything is like all tied up in a knot kind of thing, because the nature of the movie wasn't that, but I sort of felt left hanging in a way. I wanted a little more information.
And the audience in general felt that way.
Yeah, it's just rattling in. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to answer your question.
She's going to answer the question.
I did not like that lack of resolution. In fact, when I left the film, I said to myself, I hated this. Mm-hmm.
Did you hate the movie?
Right. At that moment, I hated it, and I have, I like storytelling structure. And the unity of time and character and setting, and I thought that a central question that was presented in the film was who is doing these videotapes, and I didn't think that it was fair to the audience not to answer that question. And I understand why he chose not to do it, because it's cachet, everything was hidden, it fit in with everybody. I still didn't think that was fair. I thought it was manipulative and unfair to the audience. That's what I thought about it. What did you think?
But why? Well, I sort of felt the same way you did, in that I don't think I was so much angry as puzzled and. Read said there was a clue in the lower left-hand corner.
Well,
that last scene. Okay, well, I missed totally that one of the boys, I think, was the son of the...
Yeah,
I don't know. Absolutely. But and I felt like I wanted to know. But now, in terms of our discussion, I'm thinking that it must be a political thing, and there must be something about. And I don't know. I'm not gonna. I don't have it right. But it's like we don't know who caused what and mm-hmm. who's at fault. I mean, we know who one side, you know, the French didn't treat the Algerians well, but we don't know when it's going to stop, and it's still going on. And that scene where you say the TV is showing mm-hmm. present-day scenes of the Middle East, well, that's a clue there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all continuing, and we can't point a finger, and it isn't finished. I don't know, that's what's occurring to me.
And in the tradition of the French New Wave, they, you know, they are very against Hollywood endings. And this was clear.
I think it opens it up for more discussion by not having it.
We wouldn't be having this much discussion if there was not a clue.
Or if it was just all resolved in the moment.
He did it for us.
What would you have to talk about?
And again, that's like Godard.
But it's
the French talk back to the screen. Mm-hmm. They throw things at the screen. They get so angry. Mm-hmm. And that's so different than Hollywood films where everything's.
Yeah.
Yeah. People have seen the other two movies this guy made?
No.
What else has he
made? I've seen
one. Of the Wolf?
No, I did not see the Wolf.
And the piano teacher.
Do you remember that was the other thing like Brokeback Mountain that we kept talking about that we never picked?
Really?
No.
God, that was quite a picture.
So that was fascinating.
That was fascinating. I don't remember.
I'm
wondering, has anyone here, which I haven't seen the Battle for Algiers?
Yeah, of course.
And I don't think it's on tape.
They re-released it. It was a big thing when they re-released it theatrically.
Is there any clue in there that fits? I mean, that shows any sheds any light on this?
No, but it's quite a different
film.
As to who did the videotaping?
No.
What's a Burnley swimming?
The themes are.
You're saying there was something in the credits explains how people reacted. When I saw this movie and the movie ended, the audience sat there silently and nobody moved.
Yeah.
And maybe they all read that damn review. Nobody talked. It was like everybody just sat there like this. And I was sitting there going, what the hell just happened? I mean, that was like my reaction. But it was such an odd reaction from the audience.
Yes.
People didn't like throw in their clothes and go, well, enough of that, and like march off. They all just like sat there silently like that.
Are we supposed to feel something more?
I think people were looking, read that review and were looking for the clue in the lower left hand corner, because I missed the Majid's son talking to the boy. I was looking in the lower left hand corner. I know he was talking to somebody, but he didn't see him. There was nothing in the lower left hand corner. I think the guy when he wrote the review should have said the lower
left.
The little boy went up to the stairs to meet his friends, and the other guy walked away
at the bottom, but
they were talking to each other at the bottom left hand corner.
I missed it. But anyway, when I came out of the theater, everybody at the counter counter was talking about the Majid's son talking to the boy, so I actually didn't miss it. I heard it on the way out the door. But that's what everybody was staying for, obviously.
Do you know who wrote the review?
I think it was A.O. Scott that I was reading.
Uh-huh. More than one review talked about the credits.
Yeah. Really?
It kind of reminded me of Swimming Pool in a way, because the Swimming Pool was like, what the hell just happened?
What the hell just happened? Again, French.
I'll give it to you. I'm close.
No, and wasn't this something you had to see in the swimming pool in one scene?
I didn't feel abandoned in swimming pool.
No.
I really feel abandoned.
Is it possible that this whole story and the camera and the filming and the video is absolutely secondary compared to the political aspect of the film, and that it doesn't really matter in the end? Not that it's guess and think, like I was guessing earlier. But is it possible it's just a setting for this problem to be presented?
Well, it's a conceit, yeah.
It's because
but then it's really manipulative if that's true. Yeah.
For example, well, it is.
It's
there's
really,
not the only film.
Really manipulative.
It's not the only manipulative film around.
Yeah.
And all the Holocaust films, many have very personal family stories. And the Holocaust was 20 or 30 years ago, and it's only the behavior and the response and the not after, how do you call the carryover, the history that remains in the people, how they respond
right.
to their personal situations.
But this is a mystery. It's almost like it's a murder mystery, but the murder doesn't happen until after you think. Because the murderer is actually him killing himself. So it's like, it's as if it's a murder mystery and we're set up, we want to know the resolution, but we don't even know it's a murder, and the murder doesn't happen in the past, it happens within the context of the movie.
Well, maybe that's the message.
True,
maybe the message is,
true.
Don't worry about the murder, think of these other things.
But that's also true. People also have called this film Hitchcockian.
Really?
And that's Rear Window is all about voyeurism, and the murder doesn't happen until two-thirds of the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The murder scene was actually filmed stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And long
yes.
shot.
Yes.
I thought that was interesting too. That
the murder? Which murder?
Suicide.
But it is a murder in
was
a way.
Yeah.
He did murder.
Well, no, you never know if it's filmed. You never
because
see
we never
it.
See the.
It's not the same point of view as the earlier scene in the
Yes, it is.
It's close. But it's angled a little.
That's another manipulation.
Yes, it's a different angle, but it's filmed the same way in that it doesn't cut into close ups.
And
it
doesn't move.
It doesn't move.
But the final scene of the film is also you're wondering, is this a video?
Who's holding the video there?
Yeah.
It was the wife.
You expect him to get another tape after he commits suicide.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You expect that to be another tape. And then you're right, the last scene is clearly shot in the same way. That same voyeuristic static camera.
I think this is kind of movie that, like, 20 years from now is going to be, like, you know, some other thought, you know, like we're going to look back on it and say that was really a great movie, or we're going to say that was, you know,
really manipulative.
Yeah, one or the other. I mean, when I was watching it, I really did like it. There were certain things for it, you know, that did not work at all, like the scene with the suicide. You said you thought it was really
so shocking.
Yeah, but I don't know. I sort of fell down there.
Do you think somebody, when they cut their jugular, that they really die that quickly?
Oh, yeah, you would bleed. You would just...
But
are you able to cut it that deep yourself?
No.
It just seems so against how it
would be. Yeah,
it's done before.
Has been done before?
No.
In the Grifters.
Well,
where
it's Shakespeare,
the
and then
Jonathan Houston does Cusick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The suicide scene, it echoes back to previous scene of the chicken with the head.
And continuously in those pictures.
Right.
Yeah. No, clearly it does.
They treat the Algerians just like chickens.
Something. You know, they run around with their heads cut off all the time.
But
it was very hard to watch.
It was the Algerian who cut the head of the chicken off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was told to.
Yeah.
Right. He was told to.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if it's the director that's holding the camera all along?
Yeah.
You said one thing about the elevator scene. I like that scene too. What amazed me is that when people were getting off the elevator, they managed not to have the cameraman's reflection
in the mirror.
I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing.
How do they do that?
That was a very angle. You do it in a certain angle. But
I
thought that too.
Figured out.
Yeah, that was a very good scene.
Yeah.
It was just a good movie to watch. Did I feel cheated at the end? Sort of, but not terribly. Somebody on the way out said, "Oh, it's just so French," and I know that's not, somehow that sort of broke the tension of
being pissed off.
But I thought there was plenty to think about, so
how is that being cheated? If a movie gives you something to think about, that's more than 99% of Hollywood.
They have lovely little resolutions.
Now, this discussion is really enhancing this movie for me.
Me too.
You're going to watch it again?
I don't know. But really, hearing everybody
watch it again for a while.
One thing about this film that disturbed me too, and I noticed this in other French films, is that when the French talk to each other, they can be quite nasty and rude, and I just find that very off-putting.
It's true in New York.
Yeah, it's not true in California.
But the French do it differently than New Yorkers do it.
And Californians do it differently. They just put stuff behind your back.
Well, the conversation between the man and the wife.
Oh, that harks back to dozens of other French films. There's always the bored housewife and the vacuous marriage.
She wasn't a housewife.
Well, she wasn't fictional. But still, her job was not considered like his. It's like, oh, she's keeping busy with this job.
I was annoyed with her job.
What did she
I thought it was a chic job, and she should have had a different kind of job.
She worked for a publisher who was her confidant also.
And she could just work when she wanted to.
Right, she kind of worked when she wanted to, and you know. But that harks back to just almost all French films have those.
All of Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, of course, is a huge fan of the French New Wave. I thought they were good choices. Anyway, I thought we chose two good films this time.
Good.
And we all saw both of them. That's kind of unusual. Everybody here.
That's the first time they go.
That may be a first. I usually only see one, but the both of these I really want to
see. Or none.
Well, I just don't.
Or none.
Or none. I come to meetings on more than one occasion having seen neither film.
That's a Dillinger one again.
Well, it's because I saw 18 of the film.
I guess I saw the two
Barbara Stanley the other night.
I know. I was recommending it to a friend.